You're listening to the 40 Thrive Podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Welcome back to another episode of the 40 Thrive Podcast. Today's episode is so important. How many of you have ever set a goal or maybe had a dream only to be completely sidelined and interrupted by that voice? You know the one, she tells you you're too old or you're not good enough. It is a voice that is so strong, she has the power to stop you from even trying. Today, I'm talking to Wendy Miller. She is an award-winning writer, producer, major creative powerhouse. She's worked with media giants like NBC, Lifetime, and Oprah. She's also spent over 7 years as head of programming for Playboy TV before launching her hilarious and thought-provoking podcast, Sex Ed the Musical. Wendy and I are about to talk about that voice that keeps us from really living the life we truly want. She even has a whole persona for her voice. You have to hear it. You definitely want to tune in for this conversation because she's got some really brilliant ways to not only quiet that voice, but help you move forward in doing pretty much anything and everything you've ever desired. So before we head to Sherman Oaks, California for my conversation with Wendy, this episode of the 40 Thrive Podcast is sponsored by Find Your Voice Through Podcasting, my personal small group program that will take you from idea to launch in 3 months or less. You could certainly find the nuts and bolts of podcasting through a simple Google search, but my superpower is pulling the very best you out of you, making your show unique and special and stand out from the rest. To find out more about how you can join my summer session, which starts next week, check out the show notes for this episode at 40thrive.com/episode 30. That's 40thrive.com/episode 30. I would absolutely love to help you launch that podcast. Okay, so let's get to today's episode, my chat with the brilliant Wendy Miller. Wendy Miller.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back to the 40 Thrive Podcast.
Am I in the three show club?
Is this three or two?
Two, but I was on your other show.
Oh, that's right. You were on my last podcast.
Yeah.
You've advanced in the race, I guess, that goes nowhere.
Do I get a blazer or do I get a Dakota ring or anything?
A ham.
Oh, great.
So for those of you who have been listening to the show since the beginning, Wendy Miller was one of my first guests.
Yes.
And we talked a lot about sex.
Yes.
Yes. So if you are over 40 and thinking maybe your sex life is not where you want it to be or where it could be, you want to go back to that episode. I'll link to it in the show notes and check it out because you really tackle some really, I think, important topics that we are all afraid to talk about.
I don't know why.
Because we all didn't work at Playboy TV for 7.5 years.
But I started out normal before I went in there, and I certainly had to go through a lot of different evolution. And if you just don't think of it as something dirty, but you think of it as something that's self-care, the right. Whole thing shifts.
Yeah. We talk about so many of that stuff. Like, yeah. Go back and listen to that. But listen to this one first.
Yes.
So, Wendy, I've known you for, I don't know, 20-something 20-something years.
Something like that.
We worked somewhere with a big peacock.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
And I always, and I say this every time I talk to you on the mic and off, I just always looked up to you as someone who is just so brilliant and talented, so creative. And then we got a chance to work together.
Yes.
When you joined my podcast class.
That's right.
And I realized that you were just as effed up as the rest of us.
Thank you. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. And I mean that, I mean that sincerely in that, like, I always put you on this kind of on this pedestal, this creative pedestal of like, she's just so brilliant. And then when I really got to spend that time with you in this group, because the groups are very much like come as you are, be yourself. You have to be open and that's the only way we can connect with each other. But you really were willing to dive into the insecurities, the imposter syndrome, all of the shit that we go through. as women, especially women over 40.
Well, that's something I'm actually working on right now. It's like, is being more vulnerable, because I think for most of my career, especially when you're like one of the only women working in a group of guys or whatever, you sort of put on this suit of armor. And I think I had one to begin with. So maybe I had two suits of armor and some chainmail. And so I feel that the something I'm really working on right now is being more vulnerable and accessible, because it's hard for me. So I like doing that, because that's really all I'm focused on now, is doing things that are really hard for me. And it's also reaped great benefits for me, because it's made me realize that people are much more interested in talking to you when you're vulnerable and not when you're perfect. I wonder what happened when Martha Stewart went to jail. Like, I wonder if her numbers increased. You know, I wonder if people related to her more because she was like beyond human at that point.
Right.
So,
yeah. But was there something that happened that made you think like, okay, these coats of armor are not serving me anymore? I should be more of who I really am.
I just started doing some really serious deep work on myself. And I was working with an advisor, and we were just talking about just trying to drill down to who I am at my core and at my essence. And everything I realized was that who I am at my core is much more interesting than the person that I'm presenting myself as. But it's
ironically enough, right? That's
but
usually
it's a,
the case,
it's
right?
a habit, though. It's mm-hmm. like it's a habit. You get in this habit of putting on your black clothes and, you know, your snarky comments. And I'm, you know, I was behind a big wall for a long time, and people, you know, people respected me, and it was really cool. But it's boring and it's lonely on the other side of that wall. And so I thought, if I'm going to make any sort of advances in this world, I need to be more vulnerable and honest about who I am.
Have you noticed a reaction to that since?
No, because I'm not paying attention to it. It's none of my business. How people think about me is none of my business. It's just about me being more honest about myself with others.
Right.
I don't have a baseline, so I don't know if like people are now 35% more interested in talking to me. Like, I don't know. I don't have any numbers.
Yeah, I heard like 4 out of 5 dentists totally find you fascinating
exactly.
now. Exactly. But you know, there's something that came up in our podcast class several times, and that is like the whole imposter syndrome and the voice and all of that. And you kind of stopped us all in our tracks because you named yours.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, this all came from me starting to write my memoir, which is really where I've had to get super honest and get like right down to the bone. Because as my memoir writing teacher, Brett Paisel, said, nobody wants to read a book about someone who does everything right. And so it's been hard for me. And so I started talking to her, and I started thinking about writing my memoir. And before I could even write it, I was thinking, this isn't going to be good. I really like Tina Fey's book. I really like Amy Poehler's book. They're so much better than me. All these people are better writers. Elizabeth Gilbert is so talented. Who the fuck do I think I am for writing a book? Who the hell am I? And then I thought to myself, well, you know, I bet you that Tina Fey doesn't think about me before she's going to write something. So why am I worried about people that, it's like we all do this. And I just stopped worrying about what people were thinking. And I gave that voice a name, because the call's coming from inside the house, right? So that voice is the loudest. That voice says, you're not worthy, you're not talented, you're not smart. And so what I decided to do was embody that voice. And I started to imagine what that voice looked like. It's kind of like that movie In and Out, Inside Out.
Oh, yeah.
Where you see like, and so I started to envision what this voice looked like, what she sounded like. I gave her a name. And then I thought about, like, I started to have sympathy for her. Because that's what my lesson is right now. It's about sympathy. You know, pitching ideas, writing stuff, going out for jobs, meeting with people, and they don't get it. And I would get really, really mad. Like, how do you not see this is a great idea? How do you not? And I realized I shouldn't be getting mad at these people. I should have sympathy for them.
Interesting. Why so?
Because they don't get it and they don't see it. And if there's one thing I know, it's a good idea. I mean, I've had a whole career at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sometimes pitching ideas to people who are sitting in an office and they're terrified they're going to lose their job in 5 minutes. And you know, that's like there's a whole bunch of other things going on. And so I started to have sympathy for the people who didn't get me.
Right.
And
I love that.
So I had to have sympathy for
a lot of sympathy for a lot of people.
It is a lot of sympathy. But it's better than being angry.
Yes.
Because as women, it's not a level playing field. I was just reading this interview with Serena Williams, and she was talking about all the bullshit she's had to go through and everything she's accomplished. She's the greatest tennis player of all time, and yet on a completely unlevel playing field.
Right.
Or court, as the case may be.
Right.
And it's if you really think about what she's accomplished with absolutely every single disadvantage along the way, it's mind-blowing. And so for me, I needed to focus on who was telling me I wasn't good enough, getting to know them, giving them a name, embodying them, and actually starting to have a dialogue with them to get them to shut up.
So tell us, what's your voice's name?
So my voice's name is Roberta. And Roberta is very, very, very afraid that I'm going to get hurt. Hmm. You know, Roberta protects me. Roberta keeps me from, like, you know, trying to repair a light switch with a wet screwdriver while I'm standing in a puddle of water.
Roberta comes in handy sometimes.
Roberta comes in handy sometimes. But Roberta's job is to protect me. And I think Roberta thinks that I'm going to get hurt if I put too much of myself out there. Hmm. Hence the suit of armor and the walls that I was hiding behind.
Right.
That was all driven by Roberta. And so I gave Roberta a voice and I said, okay, Roberta, I understand what you're trying to do. I understand you're trying to protect me. But right now, I just want to do some writing. I want to be creative. I want to try some stuff. And I need for you to just go away for a little bit, just like a half hour. I'm sure there's somewhere really fun for you to go. Here's some Bed Bath & Beyond coupons.
I've got a bunch in my car if she needs more. Not that I go there, but I have the coupon.
And just give me a chance to just make some mistakes without you telling me about it. Mm. Because I'm not going to get anything done if Roberta's sitting there going, you can't do this. You're not talented enough. You're not funny enough. People aren't interested in you. People don't want to hear what you want to say. You're not Tina Fey. You're not Elizabeth Gilbert. You're not E.E. Cummings. You're not Langston Hughes. You're an idiot. Nobody cares about you. Don't do that. I'm like, okay, Roberta, appreciate it. Thanks for your opinion. I kind of talked to her like she's like a crazy lady on the train, right? It's like, you have to acknowledge. I'm like, thank you very much. I will not sit there next to that ghost. I appreciate that heads up. But, you know, for right now, just take a break. And you know, I'll call you when I need you. And that's the first thing that worked for me.
How did you get to that point? How did you even know to get to that point?
I just started writing about it. I started because I was working so much and I was trying to figure out what it was that was preventing me from being creative, what it was that was preventing me from doing the work I wanted to do. And this could work for anyone. Painting, screenwriting, architecture, whatever it is, there's a voice inside your head that tells you, you're not good enough. Don't do this. There's already better buildings out there. Godfather was already written. What are you doing? Chinatown was already made. What are you directing for? It's like there's a voice and everyone could have that voice in their head. And it's completely irrelevant. And as I was writing about being blocked, I realized, oh my gosh. I mean, this just came out of writing.
Just while you were writing.
While I was writing.
Roberta was born.
Yeah. That's when I figured it out that there's a voice in there and people. It's so funny, you know, there's all these armchair shrinks, and I'd be like, yeah, there's a critical voice. Oh, that's your mother. I'm like, well, I mean, my mother's critical about other things, but not
like
about...
my mother lives up the street. I hear that
yeah,
voice, too.
Yeah, it's not my mother. And like, oh, that's probably your blah, blah, blah. Like, everybody has their theories, but I'm not saying this is a universal thing that'll work for everyone, but it really works for me. When I absolutely envisioned a face and a body and a name and a cubicle and, like, everything for that person... Everything changed for me because then I could say, Roberta, I just need you to go away for just 10 minutes. I got to do some writing for work. We'll get back later. You can criticize something. You can protect me from doing something dumb. But right now, I just need you to kind of go away. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. Now, tell me a little bit more about her. What does she sound like?
Roberta has a droning voice. Roberta is in probably her mid-60s. She has black hair that hasn't been dyed in a long time, so she's got gray roots. She has glasses that are not at all trendy. She's dressed like someone who works at the DMV. Roberta has a lot of power, just like someone at the DMV. And she's behind a counter, and she says whatever she wants, and it gets right to the front of the line. And I have to deal with that and I have to manage her.
Wow. Does she have an accent at all?
I don't think so. No, I don't think she has an accent.
You know who I pictured when you're talking about her, even though you weren't describing her at all, but in Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah.
Remember, what is it, number two or number one or whatever she was?
Yeah.
She's like, hey, Mike Wazowski. You know, that's who I pictured her.
Maybe that's what yours sounds like.
Yes, I think I've been really giving this a lot of thought, knowing I was coming over here. And I think my Roberta is named Blanche.
Great name.
Her name is Blanche.
Sure.
Yeah, but I have to give
her. What does Blanche say to you?
Oh, my goodness. Blanche just tells me to be quiet. You know, Blanche thinks that I require too much attention and that I'm all about me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blanche doesn't shut the F up.
No.
But, you know, one thing I was thinking about when you were talking was, when you're reading a book, even if it's not your favorite book, you just pick up a book, somebody recommends it or whatever, and you're reading it, never once do you think, who the hell was this person to write this book? Like,
that's right. That's,
you know,
right.
Like, no, you may not like it, and that's okay.
Unless it's like a theater critic, nobody is judging your work at the same level you are.
Right.
Like, no one's going to be crueler to you than you are.
They may be judging the work, but they're not judging that you aren't good enough to at least give it a go.
I mean, maybe they are. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't really care about them. I mean, did you saw that Brené Brown? This is like the third time on the podcast that I've referred to it. But she talks about that. And all of the people who have the opinion are the ones who aren't in the arena.
That's right. That's right.
And we're so worried. And this happens every day. I talk to so many women. Wendy, I can't tell you how many times, even in the last 3 months, I have said to a woman, you are way too brilliant to not be successful in whatever area it is that they're struggling with. And there's so many women that I come across, and I'm sure you come across. We work in this TV industry, especially women who feel like they're aging out or in other creative endeavors. And, you know, we start to think, I had dinner with friends last night and I was thinking, you know, I used to be so motivated, so goal oriented, and I knew exactly what I wanted. And then real life happened. And I don't know at what point I thought I was no longer somebody that someone would want to hire. But then when, you know, like you and I have talked about this, we start to talk and we're like, oh, my God, I have so much to offer.
Yeah.
Why do we do that?
Listen, remember, I got pregnant and I wasn't telling anyone. And I ran into you at a prenatal yoga class. And you're like, hi, Wendy. I'm like, oh, shit. I don't want to tell anyone.
Oh, you're still here from the last class, huh? The non-prenatal.
Yeah. I didn't want to tell anyone because I thought my career would be over. You know. It's so easy to get caught up, especially now. It's like, I've got a podcast. I look at downloads. You know, I'm on Instagram and sometimes I'll post something and I'll look at views. And you can look at that as a gauge of your success. Like, you could be caught up in all sorts of social media numbers. How many people are following me? How much money am I making?
Yes.
You know, you can get caught up in all of that external bullshit. And it really has nothing to do with the work that you're doing. It's like people, you know, with my podcast, people are like, well, are you marketing it? No, no, no. I'm like, no, I'm actually just focusing on doing the best show I can. And eventually I'll figure that out.
Right.
But right now I'm just focusing on this because I can control that. I can't control how people are going to respond to me. I can't control how many people are going to find it. I can't control how many people are going to be listening to my voice right now and go, shut the hell up. But I can control what I believe, and I can control what I want to say to people. And what I want to say to people is, that judgment is coming from you, and you can tell it to go away for a while and do whatever work you've been putting off, because that's the work you should be doing, especially if someone's telling you not to do it.
Right.
Right? When you have kids, you're like, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove, don't. They don't touch the stove.
Yeah. They only hear touch the stove.
Yeah. Yeah. The don't part.
So, I mean, we talk about that all the time, though, on your podcast. So if you haven't gone over and subscribed to Sex Ed the Musical, then you are not really living. But, I mean, for you, let's just go back a little bit, like working at Playboy TV for 7.5 years after working for Oprah and NBC and all these other, you know, more mainstream places. And you really changed the face of Playboy TV, and more than the face, the whole body.
I changed the ass.
But you really brought in what women want and what women's our desires and all of it. And you started to create programming that couples could watch together, and that women, it wasn't just this, like, you know, you think of porn or Playboy for men and and what men want, and it's always the same, and it's not, it never considers what women really want. And so you really change that. And so for you to go through all those experiences and those hilarious experiences in those 7.5 years, your podcast is not, if you're thinking, oh, it's Dr. Ruth, or is she going to sing to me? It's a musical. Or, you know, is it another boring, you know, medical sex therapy type thing? It's none of that. Like, you just bring yourself to it.
I feel like there are lots of people out there who, there are lots of people like Dr. Ruth out there, and sex therapists and physicians and all sorts of people who, you know, are in their lane, and that's great. And that's not my lane, because my lane is about my journey, what I learn, and how I'd like to share that with other women like me. Because I went in there loaded with judgment about sex and shame and sexuality and people and adventurous people. And look, every time you meet someone who acts as if they're better than you or they know more than you, that's just a mask. They're just covering up the fact that they don't want you to know that they don't know anything. Hmm. It's a mask. And so I walked in there masked up to the yin-yang. And slowly I figured that out. And slowly I started to take off every mask that I had to really reveal who I am as a person, to understand my sexuality, to understand my marriage at different levels, to understand people who are adventurous and what I could learn from them. So this is about my journey and how it can help lots and lots of people. This isn't the show to listen to if you want to hear more about, you know, your Bartholin gland, or, you know,
I don't even know what that is.
That's, well, it's pretty important. This is a show to listen to if you want to learn about how to be the bravest you can be to live the sex life of your dreams. That's all.
I love that. And it's not, it's never the same. That's the thing. Like, sometimes you have, you know, quick tips. Sometimes you have a guest on who's just really interesting, who I will never relate to, but at the same time, I relate to in so many ways.
Yeah.
Because of their humanity, not necessarily their sex life.
Right. And that's what it's, but that, you know, that, thank you for saying that, because it's the humanity behind it. I have this woman that I've done several episodes with, the sexually adventurous woman. She does crazy stuff to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But what's amazing about her is how much integrity she has and how much bravery she has, and how her willingness to become a swinger and open up her marriage and start picking up women at bars, how it affected her entire life.
Right.
And now she's got great boundaries, and she knows what to, if you can ask for what you want naked, you can advocate for yourself at any point.
Right.
And so that's
a great point.
Yeah, it's a great thing I learned from her. And so it's yeah, there are a lot of people on the show that you probably would not relate to, but would probably inspire you.
Absolutely. Because when you start to talk about things that I'm like, oh, that would freak me out or whatever. And then, but I hear from the person, mm-hmm. they're no different than somebody who I could sit next to on a bus, or, you know, at the doctor's office or whatever. I mean, they're just your everyday average humans, but they just happen to have these experiences that are quite different. And so I have found too that I have my own programming from growing up, and mm-hmm. things that you and I would be in a conversation and I would say things out loud and not even be thinking of twice about it, and you're like, hold on a minute, let's unpack that. And I've learned so much just from having those conversations. So I really strongly suggest that people go over and subscribe to your podcast, because those conversations, for me, I'm able to talk about more difficult things because I hear you talking about difficult things.
Thank you. The shame that we all have about sex is not our fault. It's how we were socialized as women, how we were raised, you know, what we were told was the truth. And there's a lot of history behind that and a lot of reasons behind that, based in institutionalized sexism and keeping women in our place and preventing women from really being able to be in charge of our own pleasure. And you can't blame anyone. I don't blame anyone who goes, I can't believe you do that show. I can't believe you talk about sex. I can't believe you went to a swingers club for work. I can't believe you talk about threesomes. Again, I have sympathy for all those people, because they just were raised with so much shame. And if they can get past that, they'll find out they're in for a world of pleasure and fun, and even just acceptance. Like, I've been to dozens of swinger parties. I have not participated in any of them. But just by being there, the lessons that I've learned and the things that I've seen have changed me. And I didn't realize that even I was judgmental and had shame around sex. But we all do, until we don't.
Right. Do you think that your openness sexually, because of your job and everything, has led you to this place of being vulnerable and open in your everyday life?
Yeah, it's all tied together. And I was not vulnerable at this job, and I was not open sexually. I was quite closeted and quite nervous the entire time I was there. I was like a closeted vanilla person. Like, I was worried that they would find out how vanilla I really was. So I didn't really change until I started working on telling my own story. And then I realized that I have to tell it all or don't tell it at all. And so that's when I had to start factoring in my husband's privacy and my family and, you know, how are people going to react and are people going to be weird and am I going to lose friends and blah, 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 blah. And someone said, you know, why do you care? It doesn't matter. Just tell your story. And I've used this example a bunch of times. You could tell the same story two ways. You could tell it the first time with a lot of shame and the second time with a lot of ownership and fun. Which version do you want to hear?
I mean, I've seen people gravitate toward you and to other women that I've talked to that just have that ownership over their mistakes, their choices, their life. Like, I think when people like you and others that I am around all the time are able to go, yeah, these are my choices. This is what my life looks like. People are like, oh, I don't have to be perfect either.
Yeah. And also, I don't want to spend all day with someone who's behind a mask. You can tell when people aren't fully disclosed. You can tell it.
Yeah.
You could tell when you're talking to someone and they're guarded and maybe like me, they're diffusing it with humor or snark, but you can tell. And I also didn't want to be one of those people who was like over disclosed, like people who are on, you know, YouTube, like crying because they got into a fight with some influencer. I mean, I hope that's never me,
but that's not who you are.
But it's important for me now more than ever to be as authentic and as vulnerable as possible, because that's where my truth is, and not to be ashamed of it. Because again, I don't want to tell the story and be ashamed of it. I want to tell the story and be like, and then this happened and it was crazy and fun.
Right. And that's what it's all about. You know, the experiences. I mean, that's what life is just a series of experiences.
Yeah. And you could choose to be tormented by them, or you could laugh at them, own them, and then move on.
Right. So if someone's listening now, and they think, oh, it's easy for you to say, you found Roberta and now you wrestle her down sometimes. But that's not for me. I can't. I have all these thoughts of where my life would be and I just can't because of this voice. What kind of advice would you give them?
I would want to say to them, first of all, this place where you thought your life should be, where did you get that information? Did you get that by looking at someone else's life? Did you get that by just sort of having a vision board and cutting out pieces of paper from magazines?
Like, get out of my head, Wendy.
Like, if you're the one who sets your own rules, then how can you be a failure? Just set new rules.
Right.
It's not like it's not the Ten Commandments. They're not carved in stone being brought down by Charlton Heston. You know, it's like, if you set your rules, if you set your goals, and somehow you feel as if you didn't accomplish them and you're a failure, adjust your goals. And I'm not saying adjust your goals to being like, oh, I'm okay with being 480 pounds. There's nothing wrong with being 480 pounds. But adjust your goals. Give yourself a break. Like, why do you spend all day going, you know what? By this age, I should have had this much in savings. I should have been married. I should have had two houses. I should have been that. Like, all these things. It's like, according to whom? Something your mom told you, something you saw in a documentary in health class.
So how do you know then how to really figure out what you really want? Because we're so programmed, right? People talk about, when I was a little girl, I wanted to do this. And, you know, when I was a little girl, I wanted to do 5,000 things. And I kept changing my mind because, you know, what was appropriate for 6-year-old Jackie was not necessarily a dream for 12-year-old Jackie.
What were some of the things you wanted to do?
I wanted to be a children's book author.
Okay, you could still do that.
I could still do that. It was all in the creative field, you know, which I am.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But you know what's funny is I still have a review when we worked at NBC together, and we used to have those annual reviews. And I actually, I'm not going to mention the person who did my review.
Okay.
It rhymes with Kim. but God, he had put, you know, the strengths and weaknesses and this and that. And one of the things that he had added, or my only thing he had written as my weakness, was writing. And I remember being devastated, like, oh my gosh, I'm not a good writer. And I was probably 25 years old, you know, and I just hadn't had the experience. And then I went and made my living writing after that.
Right.
And still continue to, you know, write.
What has Kim ever written, by the way? I'm curious.
Nothing more longer than 30 seconds.
Nothing even longer than like 4 seconds, yeah, of someone else's 26 seconds.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, I bring that story up not to necessarily be mad at Kim, but to acknowledge the fact that I saw that someone said that was a weakness. And I was like, no, 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 you don't get to write my story, so to speak. And so I was able to decide if that was really, and I worked really hard and I made a living at it. It's funny, I've been talking privately this past week because I've had a few, you know what it's like when you work in a full-time job, and I was moving my way up the ladder and I was doing all those things. And then I had kids and went freelance and, you know, keep innovating. But at the same time, I'm not, if you had looked at the trajectory, I'd be like, you know, president of a company at this point, which I am not. And I started to really think about that. And I realized that one of the reasons, and I've never talked about this publicly, but one of the reasons that I didn't go in that direction is because my programming, my belief, like to my core, was that I couldn't do that and be a good mother. And so I, in some ways, completely sabotaged my career so that way I would be seen as a good mother. Even though I see women all the time who are, it's not like I have these same feelings for other women. You ever do that to yourself, yeah, where you're like, I have these values that I have to live by. Oh, you're doing that. You're the president of the company and you've got three kids. Yay, go you. Like, I'm all about the equal opportunities, yeah, and like, you know, I'm a feminist. But for me, I was like, well, that would make me a terrible mother. And it's probably just based on what I saw growing up. But I'm just starting to realize some of those tapes that we play.
Yeah.
Year after year after year. And now I'm 48 and, you know, I've got 20 years or more that I could be creative and do great things, that I don't have to play those tapes anymore.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Who's president of the company you run right now?
Well, that would be me. My tiny little company.
But you are president of a company.
Yes.
And you are a mom.
Yes. Yes. But when you look at what
success... I mean, you're not president of Warner Brothers.
But when you look at what success looks like.
Yeah.
And the freedom, the financial freedoms.
Who are you comparing yourself against?
When I was in my 20s, I said, I'm going to make six figures by the time I'm 30. Like that, there was, it wasn't an opinion. It just was. And I started a job when I was 29 and it was not reaching it yet. And I busted my ass. But right before I turned 30, I went in, knocked on the door, and I was like, here's the proof of my power. Here's the proof of everything I have done. This is my goal. What do you say about that? And they gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy crap. And I realized like how powerful I was in the workplace. But I just for many years did not know how to be powerful at home and at work.
Right.
That was very, very difficult for me. And I'm just, you know, with my youngest 12 and a half, you know, we're talking junior high and high school. I'm starting to then realize that I don't have to choose one or the other.
Right. I just think as women, we are constantly comparing ourselves to some other crazy, and men do it too, but some other crazy standards, whether it's beauty or weight or hair or whatever. It's like, we're constantly saying, well, I don't look like Brooke Burke, or, oh, I'm not, you
it's
know.
It's a random
choice. Well, she was on my show today. Or like, I don't have an empire like Martha Stewart,
right.
Or, you know, I don't have a talk show like Oprah, like that. It's like, there are 12 people who are living at that level.
Right.
And there are a couple billion people who have nothing, like nothing. And if you really think about it, Jackie, every day you get to do exactly what you want to do creatively, and you get to help people,
yep.
And you get to change lives, and you got 3 kids and a really cute husband, and it's all working.
Yeah. You know, and you're absolutely right. And you're right. I have no idea what the comparison is, but do you ever find yourself? It's my Blanche.
It's Blanche.
Yeah.
Blanche is telling you, well, if you really stuck into your career and really pushed yourself,
right,
this would have happened. Obviously, you're a failure.
But it's interesting because Blanche, it depends. Like, I think Blanche is a drinker, because sometimes she's like, you need to stick around and be around for your kids and make sure that you handle everything that happens. And then on the flip side, she's like, why aren't you successful? You know? Yeah. So she's like,
well, you're set up to lose then, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And Blanche needs to go.
The call's coming from inside the house. Tell Blanche to be like, okay, when I'm signing loan docs, Blanche, show up.
Right.
When I drive into Just Tires and they try to sell me 4 new tires for a patch, I need you standing behind me, Blanche.
Right.
But when I'm really focusing on what I've accomplished in my career and what I'm currently doing, shut the fuck up, Blanche. Blanche isn't serving you. I think that's the thing. It's like, I need to put Roberta in a place where she's serving me, not where she's harming me.
Right. Appreciate her.
Yeah. She keeps me safe.
For what she does.
She just gets a little overzealous.
Right. It's the same with Blanche and Roberta, in that when you need them, call them.
Yeah. Don't call me, I'll call you. Right? You're doing a great job. Just do me a favor. Stay down in finance where you belong. The creative department, we're good up here. We don't need you. Appreciate it. Tell you what, why don't you write down a bunch of notes, put them in this folder, and put them in the inbox over there by the reception desk. We'll get to it. We won't get to it.
We'll get to it. We're like, right. So what can we expect from Wendy Miller next? I know there's a live event coming up that you'll be
There is a live
stage.
Event. I'm going to be at the MILF Podcast live event July 24th, I believe.
Yes.
Jennifer Tracy very, very kindly invited me to be on the panel. It's going to be a really, really fun night, Dynasty Typewriter. I'm sure Jackie's show notes will tell you how to get tickets for that.
100%.
I am working on my memoir, and that's about as difficult as can be, and I love it. I'm doing my podcast, Sex Ed the Musical, where you can find out all about sex and yourself and self-pleasure and why there's shame in your life and it shouldn't be there. And I'm also trying to be a lot more present. So I'm really just kind of focusing on having fun and being present. I work way too many hours, but it's so funny. Last night I was in my bedroom and I was doing some writing, and I realized that I left my power cord for my laptop at work. And I got down to 10%, and I was like, oh, I don't have another. So I put down my laptop, and I went downstairs where my husband and daughter were watching TV, and they turned around and looked at me as if Ichabod Crane walked in the room. Like, who, what?
Wait, she's home?
She's home, what? And I think my kid goes like, what's going on, Mom? What are you doing? And I said, oh, my power's out of my laptop, so I thought I'd hang out with you guys. What are you doing? Well, on this night, we watch American Ninja Warrior, and we hang out. And they were, like, lying together on the sofa, all cuddled up and having a good time. And I said, oh, cool, I'll join you. And so I just joined my family, and we watched, like, some reruns of BattleBots and American Ninja Warrior, the stuff we love to watch together, yell at the TV. It's so much fun. And I had a great night. And they were confused that I was there, which just tells you a lot about how much I've been focusing on work lately. But it was a really, really fun night. So I need to spend a little bit more time worried about my marriage and my kid and less about work.
Yeah.
Because the work will sort itself out.
But it will always be there.
It'll always be there. Yeah. But so that's kind of what you can look forward to, me spending more time with my family. I don't know how anyone could look forward to that, but I know at least
only if you're Instagramming it
and... or in my family.
Exactly. Wendy, thank you.
Thanks for thinking of me. Thanks for coming over.
I just think it's really important for women who are doing it, who are out and putting themselves out there, to share all of those feelings and all of the questions. And I think it's going to make a huge difference. Like, if we're willing to be vulnerable in front of other people, then they can be too. And then we're going to have real connection. Otherwise, you just have all that surface stuff.
My whole podcast started because someone asked me what I really wanted to do. And I said, I want to help women and laugh all day. Those are my goals. And maybe she said, don't you want to make money? I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. But my first two goals were to help women and laugh all day. And thanks to your podcasting class, which within 8 weeks I was on the air, unquote, I'm doing just that. I set some goals and I'm accomplishing them.
Yep. And you just have to keep going.
Right. And these are not goals that I had from 20 years ago that I'm like, well, I should be president of a company and I should be head of a network and I should be, you know, living in Aaron Spelling's mansion or whatever. That's bullshit. I just want to be happy and laugh all day and help women. And lo and behold, what I'm doing. So I'm doing exactly what I set out to do.
Yeah. Well, this is the time when I usually ask, you know, what does it mean to you to 40 Thrive? But I think you just said it.
And I'm 50, so I don't really help. But yeah, just stop judging yourself. Be nice to yourselves. Tell that hateful voice to shut up. Go away. Get some nachos. There's a Bed Bath & Beyond coupon. Something. Just go away. And just focus on what brings you joy.
And I love it.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
And if your goals, if you haven't met your goals, you set them. Just set new goals.
Right.
It's easy.
It really is. It's one step at a time.
It's not quitting. It's progressing.
Right. Exactly. Because why would you expect? Would you expect to be going for, like, if you were 10 years old and you set a goal and now you're 20? And you don't want the goals that you set when you were 10. Why do we do that in our 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond?
That's right.
That, I set a goal when I was 30. Okay, life changed.
Your goals should be fluid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I should have been married by this time. I should have had this. I should be weighing 110 pounds. And I was like, according to whom?
Right.
Set new goals.
Totally. Such a great point. All right. So if you have come up with naming the voice in your head, we want to hear.
Yeah.
So please go into the 40 Thrive private Facebook group and share what you've named the voice in your head. Because, you know, Roberta and Blanche need friends.
Yeah, they do. And not only what you name the voice in your head, but what you're going to do to tell them to take a break.
Yes. Yes. You always like up it in such a good way.
Oh, thanks.
You step it up. Thank you, Wendy Miller.
My pleasure.
Oh my gosh. I just loved that conversation and it really got me thinking and moving forward in my own life. And I really hope it was helpful for you. I'd love to hear more about how you are going to move forward and get the Roberta or Blanche out of your head and put her where she belongs. So head on over to the 40 Thrive Facebook group and definitely share. So before I go, I invite you to join Wendy and me and Jennifer Tracy of the MILF Podcast at the MILF Podcast live event happening July 24th. I am so excited to go and have a girls' night out, and you can get in for just $10. That's right. I have an exclusive 40 Thrive promo code to help you save 50% off your ticket. So head on over to the show notes, 40thrive.com/episode30, for the link to get tickets and the exclusive 40 Thrive promo code. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast so you never have to go searching for it again. And don't forget to share it with a friend. You know the one. She really needs to hear this message today. Until next time, take care and keep thriving.
Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconut. Coconut is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/kokanu. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/kokanu.